talk of our towns. Today, I have three incredibly talented people in the studio, and they're going to explain why Sunday, October 8th, the place to be is downtown Astoria. Because on Sunday, October 8th, the Astoria Public Library is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and Astoria Parks and Recreation is having their instant gratification 0K fun run. It's also the last Sunday of the Sunday market. So Sunday, October 8th, just put that in your mind that that is the that's the afternoon, the day that you want to be in downtown Astoria. So it's a split program today. In the first half of the program, I'll be talking with Jimmy Pearson. He is the director of the Astoria Public Library. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, Donna.
Good morning. And in the second half of the program, I will be speaking with Astoria Parks and Recreation Director Angela Cosby. Hi, Angela.
Hi, good morning.
And also Dulcie Taylor, who is the president of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association.
Yay.
Yay.
Thanks, Donna.
And all three of you like each other, work well together. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
They're okay.
Okay. And I love that you all are coordinating on these two events so that people can do them both because they're just, the timing is perfect. So, Jimmy, let's start talking with you a little bit about how long you've been with the Astoria Public Library and some of the changes that you've made since you've been here.
So, Donna, I'll apologize first. I can never get my hair right for these shows.
Good thing it's radio.
I have been the director at the Astoria Public Library for 361 days now.
You love it or you're counting the days because no, you love it. I know you
I actually love it. It has been a phenomenal journey. Arriving here, getting here, and then being here and getting to know all the people. I have great peer directors to work with. Dulcie's been a trip just to get to know her. And between her and Norma, you know, your life's never boring.
This is true. There's always something going on in Astoria and incredible, eclectic characters here who care about the community. So when you came into the library, there were all kinds of studies that had happened about what to do with the library. So tell us about how you found the library and some of the things that you've changed.
So I came in and just my first year has been really to focus on what's here, what are we doing, what shouldn't we be doing, what can we do better, preparing the building and the staff for renovation because that is going to happen, identifying some of the phenomenal historical resources that are in the basement. Just working with John Gutenberger, he has been a godsend for all of that. Knowing what we have, identifying what we have, it's been really a fascinating walk through the history of Astoria.
It's like a time capsule, really.
It really is.
And the basement especially. And I know you've even moved furniture. So so what's going to happen on Sunday, October 8th, and why are you having an open house? And a cake
so October 8th, 1967, they dedicated this library to the community. It has served for 50 years. They raised $378,000 back then to build it. It was a huge deal for this community. It's the first permanent home of the library. And we're hoping to get it ready and prepare it for the next 50 years of service.
And that library, I know John Gutenberger does not like to use the type of, how are you referring to it now in terms of architecture?
So John Gutenberger prefers mid-century modern Scandinavian.
Okay.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah. He does.
Okay. So that's how we're describing it. And so what's going to happen at 2:00 on Sunday, October 8th?
So our MC and our foundation president, Willis Van Dusen, will take over. He'll do some introductions. We're going to have a guest speaker. Mayor Lemire will be our guest speaker for that event. And we'll have a couple of announcements for what's going to happen next. We are going to open up the basement for the what I call the 5-cent tour, the nickel tour. You're going to be able to walk down and pretty much walk back up and see some of the things that are going on down there, see some of the area that John's working in. We call it the Vortex. You may have heard of Vortex. Fort George, I think, named a beer after it. So we'll allow people there to see kind of what's down and what's going on and what the work's in progress.
That's a rare opportunity to see the basement, really.
It is. It's not open to the general public. There's a lot of talk about renovating down there. This will kind of answer some questions about what is the basement, what does it look like. and limited by money and what the design will be. Maybe we'll go down there for a meeting room. Maybe we won't. Who knows?
Okay. And so this is a family-friendly celebration. There's going to be cake.
There is cake.
Mm-hmm. Cake, very important. And then it's also October 8th is the campaign kickoff, the Capitol campaign kickoff, right?
The foundation is hosting the event. They're actually going to use it as their kickoff for their $3.5 million Capitol campaign. Hopefully we'll raise a total of $3.5 million, and when the city has $1.6 million, we'll have a $5 million renovation and prepare the library for the future.
And what's the status of that right now?
Right now we are going to go out and have an architect on board, I'm sure by early December. We've got the RFP in progress, and that's a request for proposal. I'm going to put it out after December or October 20th. I'm going to a design institute in Vancouver, Washington, and hope generate some more interest with architectural firms and come back, put out the bid packet, and see what happens.
So what you all are doing at the library, that's not going to affect the Waldorf next to you, the building next to you. That has nothing to do with it.
No.
Okay. You're just working with the footprint that you have now.
Right.
Okay. But what I love, Jimmy, is I noticed that you have shifted some things around, because there's some furniture that you've moved in, and you're going to be kind of rearranging things for Sunday a little bit, right?
So we're going to prepare the floor like we do for summer reading programs. It's such a large crowd. We'll push tables out to the side. We'll put in chairs to make it kind of, we're going to try to recreate the footprint for what it was in 1967. The Tongue Point, I'm going to have to throw out a shout to them. Tongue Point Job Corps came in on Monday and painted some walls and repaired some walls and refreshed the building. A great crew of five, and Tandy Sturgeon came out, their instructor. We fed them pizza, and it looks really nice getting it ready for the 50th.
Tongue Point Job Corps, they're terrific. Really.
They are.
We're totally
so lucky to have them here. And is the library at a point where you need volunteers to do things? I mean, since you're, you know, doing some new projects and things inside?
You know, we could always use people to help shelve. That would be a critical need, as far as just somebody that wants to come in and just help out, put books back on the shelves. We are looking for anybody that has any interest, and maybe after Sunday, see the basement. We're, you know, it's a continual process. This is stuff that has to be sorted. I've kind of refined my thoughts toward the stuff in the basement over the time I've been here. I just finished writing a grant, submitting it. Hopefully we'll find out in December if we've got it to be able to bring an archivist on board. I don't want to just pass the stuff off to different areas. I'd like to have it cataloged and identified to see what it is, so that when it does find a new home, if it does find a new home, then we know as what we have as a group between the Maritime Museum, Mac Burns at the Historical Society, so that researchers coming in, you know, it's a valuable resource for them to be able to find. John Gutenberger, his first day in the basement working, found items that would have informed his research from 2 years ago. So that's important to me as far as preservation, access, and location.
So you're still kind of doing treasure hunting in a way, too.
You know, Donna, this is an example of my day. I think that we've discovered all of the undiscoverable items. And about 2 weeks ago, a white envelope says Mayor Crosby papers. You open that envelope, and it is written documents from 1888, when the Navy, United States Navy, was looking to put a naval base in the Pacific Northwest. So we have that documentation. We have some House of Representatives letterhead from that time frame. We have a really beautiful letter from the Chamber of Commerce signed by Welch and Van Dusen and Crosby and Trenchard, that Astoria was really interested in having a naval base here in the 1880s.
So every day, in a way, there's something new happening.
It could be.
Okay, well, that's right. Because, you know what, whenever you have... You have employees, you have the public coming in. There's always something that you're dealing with. And yes, Dulcie.
I was just going to say, it kind of depends on your perspective, too, because you're going in and looking at books and you're looking at the everything. But I might go in, like I've been in the basement, and I see things like, wow, what's that? That's might not be important to you, but it's important to me. And Angela and Donna and Terry, we'll all find a different thing in there that's like, oh my God, I could have used this 2 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Dulcie actually came in, and we've got a really, really cool butterfly etching, or an etching of the butterfly fleet in the bay. We have an original Gordon Gilkey that has been cleaned and reframed and rematted with acid-free material to preserve it. If Gordon Gilkey is the one that dedicated or gave 40,000 items to the Portland Art Museum. So we had an original Gordon Gilkey in the basement.
Wow. In the basement.
In the basement when Dulcie walked through.
Okay. Libraries are still crucial. They're still important. They're still vital. And in spite of all the technology, how are you seeing the library being used?
So people use it for different reasons. People come in and they own a small business. They sit and they use the Wi-Fi. People come in and need a place to sit and quiet for study. They do that. We have a writer's group that comes in and meets. It's really, libraries can be a lot of things to different people depending on what you're looking for. We've put the teen area off limits to adults. So if you're an adult and you want to use a teen area, bring a teenager to escort you up into that area because it gives them a place to be and to be safe. And we just did a after hours event for teens from 6 to 8 a couple weeks ago and had 10 show up. So it's just finding the niche, finding what people want and giving it to them.
Jimmy, is there any idea that the library would ever be open every day, or is that just too impossible with?
So, Donna, this has been a long time in the making for me because I came in and I know that people want more hours. On October 9th, we are going to start opening on Mondays.
What?
We're going to change hours. Mm-hmm. We're going to shift away from the 6 to 7 hour because it's, in my opinion as a director and my observations, that's not a highly used time of day. A lot of our stuff is in the morning, so we are going to be open Monday through Thursday, 10 to 6, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 5.
Congratulations, Jimmy. I think a lot of people have driven up, and on Mondays they've said, oh, I just really need to do something in the library today, and it's closed. Well, that's exciting, a brand new announcement here. So, Jimmy, what other last things do you want the listening audience to know about Sunday, October 8th, about the library in general? Let's just do a little recap.
You know, Donna, I will always and foremost say that my staff has made everything possible. They are phenomenal. They are the true heart of the library. They make it happen every day. Two of them committing to Mondays and has been really key. Actually, three of them committing to Mondays to be able to open for that extra day or whatever has been key to making that happen. I'm enjoying it. I want people to continue the conversation. If you haven't been in a while, come see it. Let us know what you want, what you're looking for, what we can do better. You know, there's always room for improvement. And it's been really a privilege to be part of this community. And I'm looking forward to 401 so that I can walk and not run over to the 0K.
That's right. Okay. So Sunday, October 8th, Astoria Public Library, the 50th anniversary celebration with a cake ceremony at 2 p.m., so it's from 2 to 4, which works perfectly because you can go to the library, take your family, take everyone, and then right after that, you can just tootle on down to the Astoria Riverwalk, and you can do the Astoria Parks and Recreation Fun Run. So if you've just tuned in, we have a split show on Talk of Our Towns today. The first half of the program, we've been talking with Astoria Public Library Director Jimmy Pearson, who is an incredible addition to our community. The celebration, the 50th anniversary celebration, is happening Sunday, October 8th. In the second half of the program now, we're going to be talking with Angela Cosby. She is the Astoria Parks and Recreation Director, as well as Dulcie Taylor, who is the president of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association and is this year's sponsor for the Instant Gratification 0K Fun Run happening Sunday, October 8th. Well, starting around 3:30, but really 4 o'clock is when things are kind of happening. Mm-hmm. So, Dulcie, welcome.
Hi, Donna.
And Angela, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Please tell folks who don't know what an Instant Gratification 0K Fun Run is.
It gives you all of the benefits of a run without having to run. It is instant gratification. You step across the line and you are finished and rewarded like you just finished a half marathon.
Yay. I like to say it's the discrimination of the non-runners is no more in the 0K.
Okay. All right. Non-runners, welcome. And and I think since you shared with me a little before we went on live here, let's talk about how this idea came to be, because this is actually the third annual.
Mm-hmm.
You had two before.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like Dulcie Taylor was behind this.
Yeah. So it was a combination of Dulcie Taylor and Norma Hernandez came up just over maybe 3-4 years ago to myself and some of the leaders of the Parks, Recreation, and Community Foundation and said, hey, we want to do an event for non-runners. I think it was right after our first half marathon run on the river.
Yeah, I think so.
Thinking, you do all of this work for all the runners. What about us non-runners? We want a party like that, too. And I went, oh, my goodness, we just finished a major event. What are we doing? But we got our act together and we said, you know, they've got a point. Maybe we can make this a fundraiser somehow. And sure enough, they were right. So this will be the third year in a row we've offered it. The location has changed. Baked Alaska and Chris Holland's been so generous to donate their annex space. So 12th and right in front of 12th and the Riverwalk, where the event will take place. The post-race party will be in the Baked Alaska annex. It's so much fun. People dress up. They cheer. They're so excited to do nothing.
They don't run.
All right. And Dulcie, how did this idea come to you?
So I'm a Facebook junkie, as many people know. And and as I was cruising through Facebook, I came across a comic that said that had people lined up at the beginning of, you know, with the big get ready, set, go, start of a big race. And then the gun goes off, or this is my imagination. The gun goes off, and they step across the line. He said, okay, come and get your T-shirts, because all you had to do is step across the line. So I thought, well, that'd be perfect for Astoria. I mean, for Astorians like me who don't run. So so I pitched it to Parks and Rec, and they made it happen. And so third year, they decided that they didn't want to do it anymore. And I still thought it was a brilliant idea. And so I pitched it to Angela to do to have the funds go to just Parks and Rec to bring back some of the programs that had been lost when the budget got cut. So yeah. So we run so you we don't run so you can. Is that a thing?
We don't run so you can.
Yeah.
That's the slogan. Okay. So, Angela, Astoria Parks and Recreation, you all have been in the news lately, and people know there are some challenges, budgetary challenges. Why don't you give us a little update on what's happening with Astoria Parks and Recreation?
Absolutely. So at the beginning of August, August 7th, City Council did the final vote to implement a 2% increase to the transient lodging tax, which will greatly help stabilize our department. And as we look back, really, the last 16 years, the Parks and Recreation Department has struggled with funding, and we've made cuts and then end of the year transfers, and it's just been so inconsistent that this is something that's really going to help stabilize us into the future so we're not in this limbo anymore.
I don't think people realize everything Astoria Parks and Recreation is responsible for. Maybe you could just...
Absolutely. Yeah. We are so lucky here in Astoria. We have a very vast park system. We have 69 locations. Of those, 36 are developed parks. Others are things like the 15th Street Triangle or the downtown restrooms, things that people drive past frequently and don't really probably think, who maintains that? Who keeps it clean and beautiful? Then we also have the Astoria Aquatic Center that's open 7 days a week, the Astoria Recreation Center that's open 6 days a week, and there we have after-school child care, adult fitness classes, rentals, a teen center, lots and lots of stuff, and then also a facility in Gray School. We have our indoor play park, Porta Play, and our child care facility for early childhood education, Little Sprouts Academy, which we see about 75 to 80 kiddos a day at.
And, but you've, unfortunately, because of the fact that you haven't had the funding, you've had to cut some programs.
We have. So this last year, as we were going through, you know, our resources and where they're going to and how many people we're serving with them, we did have to make some cuts. And unfortunately, well, I'll back up a little bit. One of the things our department's gotten very good at, especially the last 8 to 9 years, is bringing in revenue. So a lot of our programs, when you look at adult athletics or youth sports or childcare, a lot of them cover their costs or they cover most of them. So by eliminating a program, you're really not saving all that much because they bring in so much revenue. So unfortunately, we had to take a look at programs that didn't bring in revenue. And a lot of those are our free family and community events. Or in this case, what Dulcie's fundraising for is our fun runs, our health and wellness programs. So like our turkey trot, that we do every day on Thanksgiving. When you think about Thanksgiving, you sit there, you eat food, you're lazy all day. Why not go out, run a little bit in the morning, start your day off, then go feast with your family? They're shaking their heads at me going, no way. But that's really the beauty in this 0K is that the funds from this are going to put back on those health and wellness programs. So the slogan, we don't run so you can, is so very accurate.
Right.
So even if you are a runner, go out and support this anyways. Step across the line so we can keep providing events for you.
Well, let's talk about more details about what's happening on Sunday, October 8th.
Just to add to what Angela was saying is that I know it sounds goofy and people not running or whatever, but really it's about community, and it's about community supporting the things that everybody does. So runners coming out to support a 0K, I mean, we're all friends and family, right? So just come down for the quirky thing and pay your $25 and get a really cool T-shirt and a beer and a cookie. Linda Perkins is donating cookies, and
ooh,
the co-op
Linda's is making cookies.
And the co-op is donating bananas. So it's just gonna be fun.
So again, that's family friendly. So that after you've done the library from 2 to 4,
right.
Then you go down to the Baked Alaska Annex.
And we're gonna wait. We're gonna wait till the library thing is over to cross that line.
Okay. So the actual race itself.
I'm saying 4:07, but
okay,
I just made that
shortly
up.
After 4 o'clock. Okay, and it's better for people to register online, right? You would like them just so they can pick out the size of T-shirt they want. I mean, they can certainly just show up. You can show up on Sunday, October 8th.
Or if you think you'll be in a rush coming over from the library, maybe we should wait until Jimmy gets there to shoot off the gun.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So the race will start when Jimmy arrives. We're guessing it will be slightly after 4:07.
Okay. Don't run over, though.
Saunter. Yeah.
But yeah, if you think you're going to be pressed on time or you want to guarantee your shirt size, go to AstoriaParks.com to register. Otherwise, you can show up at the event and register there. We'll be set up at 3:30 to start taking your registrations and for you to start stretching and preparing to cross
stretching.
The line.
Stretching is very important.
Hydrating.
Okay, good. Yeah. Hydration. And so when you did this, the first year you had a sea lion as your mascot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second year you had
A sloth.
Yeah.
And this year you have a
snail.
And the T-shirt is darling.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
I love the snail on the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. That's
just
good
great.
On the radio.
Yeah.
And again,
I'm showing it to you right now.
So it's a benefit to our parks. What's sad is I've heard that one of the things you have to eliminate is the monster bash.
Correct. There will not be a monster bash this year. I know. I'm sorry, Terry.
Yeah,
we tried to get some sponsors in there. So at this point, it's a little too late. But if anybody listening wants to donate for next year's Monster Bash, give us a call. We are happy to put it on. We just need somebody to cover the costs and donate the costs of the event.
Right.
But yeah, so same with Monster Bash. The Valentine's event's been canceled, as well as like Valentine's Day tea, pumpkin carving. We've got a whole list of them. But the really big ones, Easter egg hunt, we'd like to be able to get back going for the community. So if you're listening and you have, you know, some flexibility and able to give, some people have even donated $5, $7, $25. Some people
if
have donated.
Everybody gave something.
We could continue to provide all of these awesome programs. Yeah.
Astoria Parks and Recreation does so much more than, I mean, our quality of life is enhanced and would be terribly impacted if we didn't have a healthy Astoria Park and Recreation District. And what you all do is really important.
There is one really, really big park that Parks and Rec takes care of, and we're going to be on it. It's called the Riverwalk.
People don't realize sometimes
the Riverwalk
that
is what, is four, yeah. almost 5 miles long?
Oh, 6.2.
6.2. Thank you, Parks Director.
Okay, 6.2 miles long.
Yeah.
So this is a way for you to have fun with your family, bring everyone on Sunday, October 8th, and get your T-shirts, support the Astoria Parks and Recreation. Do you all need any volunteers?
For this event, sure. Give us a call. We'll take some. Oh, you mean not for this event, in general? Oh.
No. People to help us register and
we could
get
use some
shirts
folks.
And whatever, especially if they're not registering online.
Okay.
We need to.
You could use a few people to show up and just
make
help
sure
people
the cookies
register.
Look pretty or something.
Pass them out, hand people water as they cross the finish line.
Well,
is very important.
Again, Sunday, October 8th. What a great day to be in Astoria and celebrate. community. You've got the last Sunday market. You have the Astoria Public Library 50th anniversary celebration. And then you get to go to the 0K fun run to benefit Astoria Parks
actually,
and Recreation.
You could go to the Sunday market, and then you could go to the library, and then you could come to the 0K.
There you go. That's a perfect family outing. Did you want to say something about sponsors?
I did. I just wanted to thank my sponsors. I went out and hit up a bunch of my friends.
Can I read them off real quickly? Do we have
sure.
time for that?
Okay.
So McCall Tire Center, T. Paul's Urban Cafe, T. Paul's Supper Club, Pilot House Distilling, Eric Williams, Lucy's Books, England Marine Vintage Hardware, Dan and Soon Stein, Street 14 Cafe, Fisher House, Brett Estes, Astoria Downtown Historic District Association, Jack Ficken with Clatsop Community Bank, Fort George Brewery. We have Sean and Ann Fitzpatrick, Northwest Lending Group, Astoria Coffee House and Bistro, Old Town Framing, Whole Brain Creative, the Astoria City Council, Purple Cow Toys, Baked Alaska, and Salon Vervet.
This is quite the community. We're so fortunate to live here and to be here. And what a great thing that you get to provide a fun day of recreation and being together with mm-hmm. great food and all of you involved. So thank you so much, Jimmy Pearson. Any last thing you want to say?
Nope. Thanks to Astoria Rocks. We're going to have 50th anniversary rocks out there. I forgot to mention that earlier. So we will have 50th anniversary rocks for the kids to find.
Ooh, people love those. And the kids love those especially. Yes. Dulcie, any last thing from you?
I really would encourage people to go to the library. I think Jimmy's done a fantastic job, and I know he's very modest in saying thank you to his staff, which is great, and he has a great staff. But Jimmy has done an excellent job. I mean, you have to have a good leader to have all these great things happening at the library. I just want to say, if anybody has gone to the library lately and they notice that the entryway in the evening dusk is brighter and lighter, didn't you put those new bulby, white bulby things up there?
So we got the lollipop lights fixed
right.
A few months ago. So the outside, the 10th Street entrance lights are on at night now.
Yes.
And they are so cool. I mean, they just make the entryway look so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to thank Jimmy for
taking
a job.
Terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys haven't been to the library lately, go check it out.
Right. And the basement is way cool.
Yeah, it is. And so the library and then the 0K Instant Gratification Fun Run. I mean, really, these T-shirts will be collectible.
I just want to say there's a limited number of T-shirts, so registering online will guarantee that you have a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that you do that.
Mm-hmm. Better to go to AstoriaParks.com and register for that. I'm going to do that right after the show.
Ah, thanks.
Thank you all so much for everything you do. Terry?
I would just like to add, if you're new to our little settlement here, this is one weird but very great place to live.
It's true. Thank you all so much for listening to Talk of Our Towns and to all of our programming here on Coast Community Radio. My gratitude to Terry Wilson. And he is not only an engineer extraordinaire, but he's one of those strange, unusual, weird people who make it wonderful here. And also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for your body, your mind, your spirit. And then, with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. Focus on the things that you can be grateful for. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. For doing the best you can. Everyone is. And for being here now in the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.